fatal connection?
No, indeed, ma'am.
Nor the mistakes of the heart?
Ma'am, as ill luck would have it, Mr. Bull said Miss Sukey Saunter had just fetched it away.
Hey-ho. Did you inquire for the delicate distress?
All the memoirs of Lady Woodford? Mm. Yes, indeed, ma'am. I asked everywhere for it. And I might have brought it from Mr. Frederick's. But Lady Slattern Lounger, who just sent it home, had so soiled and dog-eared it, he wanted it for a Christian to read.
Yes, I always know when Lady Slattern has been before me. She has a most observing thumb, and I believe cherishes her nails for the convenience of making marginal notes. Well, child, what have you brought?
Oh, here, ma'am. This is the Gordian knot, and this peregrine pickle. Here are the Tears of Sensibility in Humphrey Clinker. Oh, this is the Memoirs of a Lady of Quality written by herself. And here is the second volume of The Sentimental Journey.
Oh, what are those books by the glass?
Oh, the great one is only The Whole Duty of Man, where I press a few blondes, ma'am.
Very well. Give me the salver latterly.
Is it in a blue cover, ma'am?
My smelling bottle, you simpleton.
Oh, the drops. Here, ma'am.
Hold, there's somebody coming. Quick, see who it is.
Yes, ma'am.
My cousin Julia's
book. Lord, ma'am, here is Miss Melville.
Is it possible? My dearest Julia, how delighted I am. How unexpected was this happiness.
True, Lydia, and our pleasure is the greater. But what has been the matter? You were denied to me at first.
Ah, Julia, I have a thousand things to tell you. But first, inform me what has conjured you to Bath. Is Sir Anthony here?
He is. We are arrived within this hour. And I suppose he will be here to wait on Mrs. Malaprop as soon as he is dressed.
Then before we are interrupted, let me impart to you some of my distress. I know your gentle nature will sympathize with me, though your prudence may condemn me. My letters have informed you of my whole connection with Beverley, but I've lost him, Julia.
No.
My aunt has discovered our intercourse by a note she intercepted and has confined me ever since. Yet would you believe it? She has absolutely fallen in love with a tall Irish baronet she met one night since we've been here at Lady McShuffle's ranch.
You jest, Lydia.
No, upon my word, she really carries on a kind of correspondence with him. Under a feigned name, though, till she chooses to be known to him. But it's a Delia or a Celia, I assure you.
Then surely she's now more indulgent to her niece.
Quite the contrary. Since she's discovered her own frailty, she's become more suspicious of mine. Then I must inform you of another plague. That odious Acres is to be in Bath today, so I protest I shall be teased out of all spirits.
Oh, come, come, Lydia, hope for the best. Sir Anthony shall use his interest with Mrs. Malaprop.
But you've not heard the worst. Unfortunately, I quarrelled with my poor Beverley just before my aunt made the discovery. I've not seen him since to make it up.
What was his offence?
Nothing at all. But I don't know how it was. As often as we've been together, we've never had a quarrel. Somehow, I was afraid he'd never give me an opportunity. So, last Thursday, I wrote a letter to myself to inform myself that Beverley was at that time paying his addresses to another woman. I signed it, Your Friend Unknown. Showed it to Beverley, charged him with his falsehood, put myself in a violent passion, and vowed I'd never see him more.
And you let him depart so and have not seen him since?
It was the next day my aunt found the matter out. I intended only to tease him 3 days and a half, and now I've lost him forever.
Oh, if he is as deserving and sincere as you have represented him to me, he will never give you up so. Yet consider, Lydia, you tell me he is but an ensign, and you have £30,000.
But you know I lose most of my fortune if I marry without my aunt's consent till of age. And that is what I have determined to do ever since I knew the penalty. Nor could I love the man who would wish to wait a day for the alternative.
Nay, this is caprice.
Does Julia tax me with caprice? I thought her lover Falkland has inured her to it.
I do not love even his fault.
But apropos, you have sent to him, I suppose.
Not yet, upon my word. Nor has he the least idea of my being in Bath.
Well, Julia, you're your own mistress, though under the protection of Sir Anthony. Yet have you, for this long year, been a slave to the caprice, the whim, the jealousy of this ungrateful Falkland, who will ever delay assuming the right of a husband while you suffer him to be equally imperious as a lover?
Nay, you are wrong entirely. We were contracted before my father's death. That and some consequent embarrassments have delayed what I know to be my Falkland's most ardent wish. He is too generous to trifle on such a point. And for his character, you wrong him there, too. Unused to the fopperies of love, he is negligent of the little duties expected from a lover. But being unhackneyed in the passion, his affection is ardent and sincere. And as it engrosses his whole soul, he expects every thought and emotion of his mistress to move in unison with his. This temper, I must own, has cost me many unhappy hours. But I have learned to think myself his debtor for those imperfections which arise from the ardor.